and welcome to this very fun Christmas episode of Fungula. Now, my guest for this episode is an avid Christmas movie watcher, the biggest fan of Christmas of all time, my husband, Manuel Reyes. He joins us on this episode. We get into our Christmas-themed Mattitudes and Gratitudes, and Danielle leads us through some Christmas trivia where it gets a little heated. It gets a little intense. Who won the Christmas trivia? Me or Manny? You'll have to find out. But before you do, like, subscribe, go leave us a review, go leave us all the love on Apple Podcasts. Tell everybody why you love this podcast so other people can find out about us and listen to us. And if you want to tell us what you're grateful for, call us and leave us a voicemail message. Danielle, tell them what that phone number is.
Absolutely. 747-300-5380.
Call us, tell us what you're grateful for. We may play your message on a future episode. But for now, check out this very fun, festive, Christmas-themed episode with my husband, Manuel Reyes.
All right, baby, go.
No, I say when to go.
Okay, let's go.
Sorry. Do you got somewhere to be?
Sorry, babe. Now I'm watching this really good Christmas movie.
Okay, because you're clocked in, homie. I'm gonna need you to.
How cute are the
chill?
Are the pajamas I got you? Aren't they cute?
They are cute.
It's Ralph Lauren.
Thank you. They actually fit pretty well too. I thought when you handed them to me, I was like, "What are these boy pajamas?"
Babe, I know you by now. Your sizes.
Yeah.
I just gotta look at
Can
it.
Can you put your drink down, please? I'm not sponsored by them. Thank you. We have a great guest for you guys today. Today's guest I am thrilled about.
Don't be mean.
Okay.
We haven't been on a podcast together in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You guys, I am welcoming to the Fungula podcast for the very first time, mi esposo, mi amor, mi, mi todo.
Hola.
My husband.
Hi, baby.
Manuel Reyes.
We're so comfy right now.
This is our Christmas episode.
I'm wearing this.
We were supposed to do both be in Christmas pajamas, but he couldn't find some for him, so he went Christmas vest.
Sweater vest.
Sweater vest.
Yeah.
Danielle's got her Christmas sweater on. It's a whole.
See, I was going to get an ugly Christmas sweater, but I knew I would be hot. So I was like, no, let's just go with the sweater vest.
Wait, look at my fool. Kringle.
What does it say? Jingle.
Kringle.
Here to mingle. Kringle, here to mingle. That's something that you wear to, okay, speaking of Christmas movies, this would be a good one. That's something that we're all, you know, in an apartment, we're talking about, we're going to go to a, you know, a party, and it's one of the ugly Christmas sweater parties, but that's our single friend. And so we say, yo, you should wear that one so that way you'll attract a, you know, a guy that's single. And then we go and she does, and there starts the movie.
As you can tell, Manny has been in the throes of Hallmark Christmas movies since November 1st.
Yeah.
In it.
I'm watching I just finished a really good one right now.
What is it called?
I can't
Slay Into Love.
No, I can't say the name because it's one where this girl goes to this Nordic country and I can't pronounce the country's name.
Oh.
Is it the one where she's the pilot? And
no,
plane?
No, this is one where she makes ornaments and she sold a bunch, but of course they don't get in time. So she's freaking out. And then one of the local guys there is like, you don't have to freak out. We're in a beautiful country. Look at all this cool stuff I'm going to teach you. And he does. And she forgets about it all. And then they show up on time only to find out that they're broken.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And then he's like, I happen to make woodwork. She's like, well, if I combine my ornament skills with your woodwork, people will love it. And they do. And they win.
And marriage.
And they fall in love.
And marriage.
I don't love Christmas movies, I'll be honest.
You don't watch them with me.
I love, like, big Christmas movies, like with Will Ferrell and, like.
You don't like the Hallmark movies.
Exactly. I don't like the Hallmark. I can't do it. I have a hard time with them. Do you do it, Danielle?
I'm obsessed.
Of course she does.
I love them. Because I just watched one where she is a pilot of a private jet, and then because of the bad weather, they have to detour into Nova Scotia, and she falls in love with the grumpy pilot. He's the guy that he's in the stand that you call and you.
Oh, air traffic control?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
He's that. And he's the one that tells her that she has to detour. And then sure enough, he's at the airport and she's like, well, where are we supposed to go? And he's like, I've got a place. And,
ooh.
You know, love ensues, of course.
Have you seen this one, babe?
I haven't seen this one.
Sounds intriguing, though.
Yeah. Netflix has already come out with two new ones, which I've already seen those.
Oh, wait, which ones?
One's called Something About a Kiss. I forgot. And I was really happy because the leads are people of color.
Look at that.
That's fun.
Won't Netflix do it?
You never see that. I mean, we're always just like the best friend and then the best friend's interest.
True. Yeah.
True. It's usually just Lacey Chabert.
Yeah. Even though I like Lacey. Sup, girl.
Love her.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I've never been into it. And every season, Manny's like, come watch one of these movies with me. And I'm like, ugh, it's just the worst.
Yeah, but that sounded like you are like, ugh, okay. But you don't. You don't watch any of them. So that was a lying You should just say,
first of all, don't read into my exasperations, okay? I did not finish that sentence.
You
added words to a sentence that was not there.
Yeah, you were trying to let the audience know that you succumbed to my peer pressure and you watch a movie with me, but you don't. Mm-mm. No, you don't.
I don't. I should do that, huh?
Yeah, you should, because I watch shows with you.
Not really. You get on your iPad and your phone while sitting next to me.
Erroneous.
No, objection.
Erroneous on all counts. I do. When you watch your murdery, rapey things, I tone out.
That's right. And that's all I watch. So that means you...
Because I have a heart of love and romance. I don't want to fill myself with that. It's not my vibe.
We need a Christmas romance movie that is also people solving a crime.
Ooh. And then...
I'm sure Candace Cameron Bray has one of those.
She does have her crime solving shows.
Yeah, when she was on Hallmark Mysteries and movies. Yeah.
Uh-huh. She probably has a...
No, but now she's with the Great American Great American...
But I'm saying she probably has a good crime Christmas movie out there.
Ah, she does. I love her even more.
Yeah.
Criminy Christmas. Criminy...
who robbed the Christmas bakeries?
Yeah.
The gingerbread houses. They're all missing. Where are they?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Needs to have a more clever title.
Yeah. And it needs to be a little more gritty for me. It needs to be like,
the good
who murdered the baker? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Murder at midnight candle lighting ceremony. Something like that.
I would watch it if it was like not even like Christmas themed. It was just like a murder episode, but there's Christmas lights in the background. Like that's all the nod to Christmas that I need. Die Hard. That's all.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
Die Hard. That's my favorite kind of Christmas movie.
I have Die Hard on the queue. I'm ready. It's coming.
I'll watch that one with you.
Thanks, babe.
Do you really want me to watch one of the cheesy ones?
I always want you to watch them with me. It doesn't have to be one of the cheesy ones. There's one called, I think it's called Something at Tiffany's or something.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
On Prime.
I believe it's called Breakfast.
No, babe, this one's really good. This one's really good.
Oh,
again,
really good.
People of color in the not. I don't even know why I'm saying that because I'm not even. I'm pro everything, every Christmas movie. But this one is really good because it's this one dude who is with another chick, and then this chick is with another dude, and he gets a engagement ring, loses it. The girl's
this is sounding vaguely familiar.
The other guy finds it and then accidentally proposes to his girl using this dude's ring.
That's right. I remember you watched this one last season.
Yeah, I watch it every
season. Good, miscommunication story.
Yeah.
Well, lover, here on
Something from Tiffany's is what it's
something
called.
Something from Tiffany's.
Oh, I do remember you talking about that.
So good.
Oh, good.
It's all right. Good. Well, here on Fungula Podcast.
Yeah.
We start off with a mattitude. We talk about gratitude, what we're grateful for, and this is our Christmas-themed episode, so we're going to do some Christmas-themed gratitudes and Christmas-themed mattitudes. Mm. Let's start off with a mattitude.
Okay.
My lover, what is something in the Christmas theme that gives you a mattitude?
Okay. One, that the season isn't longer.
Two, how long would you want the season to be?
I start
the
celebrating.
The second half of the year?
No, because then it wouldn't be special. I start celebrating November 1st. Uh-huh. So I guess I would just like the world to all together, you know, pre-line it up November 1st. Yeah. Not all the way. We don't have to go all the way like my house does, but just, you know, that would be good. And then...
kind of like how Mariah Carey always does the day after Halloween. It's like she does a post or something about Halloween's done. Like, it's my turn.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love that. And another mattitude would be... I don't like entitlement. And this seems to be the season of entitlement.
In what way?
You know, kids thinking they should get a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I see it so much, and I'm just like, I mean, yeah, not that I think the kids are bad, but I just would love, at least what I would like us to teach Rosie is this is the season of giving, and that every day is Christmas. You know, kind of what we decided. So when we first got married, we haven't celebrated any of the major holidays.
That's not true. We celebrate them. We don't give.
As far as gift giving goes. Yeah, we don't.
We celebrate. We're not Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's what I meant. We don't
celebrate the holiday.
We don't do the traditional, you have to give each other gifts because we just feel that every day truly is like Christmas, and every day is a birthday, and every day is Valentine's Day, because we get this awesome life and we get to do, you know, pretty much anything we want, and to reserve gratitude for that one day seems just like not grateful. So to me, every day is Christmas, every day is a birthday. I don't need anything on those special days. So
I think in the beginning when we talked about it, you were trying to do like no gifts. I'm not trying to do gifts. And I was like, pump the brakes there. I like to see Rosie. I want to see her get excited about opening a gift and all of that. But
I never said no gifts.
In the beginning, you were like, no gifts. No, we're not doing gifts. And I was like,
no,
really?
I never said no gifts, sir, for Rosie. I said no gifts from all the family. Like, we didn't need a bunch of gifts just dumped on us because I don't want that for her.
Yeah.
It's not necessary, because then she really gets used to it. It's like when we would see, you know, kids in our family, they get one gift and for 2.5 seconds, they're excited about it. And then they're already looking for what's the next gift. And then there's a sadness when they're done opening up all the gifts. And I'm just like, it bothers me. I know I'm a grown up, but I don't know. It just bothers me because since we've had a kid, I've just like, it's hit me how we get to rewrite those certain things in the story. Mm-hmm. And for Rosie, I want her to fully understand how awesome her life is, how many privileges she has, and how well off she is. I mean, we're not the Gates, but you know, we're definitely not our upbringing. We're so far from that it's like, I want her to realize that as soon as she possibly can wrap her little head around it, so that she just starts off thinking about other people instead of herself, you know? So I want to train her to look for all the little kids in school, in her classes, and be like, if you notice anybody who you may see that, you know, that doesn't have as much as you, like, let's give them gifts for Christmas. Let's do nice things for them, you know?
Yeah, I think that's special. And I think...
in secret. I don't want her to be like doing it in front of class or anything, but like,
look what I did, everyone.
Like, yeah, I don't want her to just run up, but you know, secretly just be like, let's figure that out.
I would just like to instill gratitude in her in every way possible. I've seen videos of like where parents try to prank their kids with a gift, and they thought they were going to be like, oh man, it's an apple. That's all I got. Mm. And then the little kid opens their present and it's an apple. And they're like, an apple. Thank you. Like, yeah. Like that. Like that. I just want her, like, she can get gifts. She can understand what it means to be grateful for things. Like that's what I hope we are able to instill in her.
It is possible because I look at my niece and she's this way. Anytime I ask her, what do you need? Do you need anything? And my niece is always just like, no, I'm good. I have everything I need. And that's literally, she means it. I have everything I need. I don't need anything else. And I love that about her, which makes me want to give her stuff even more. Most of the gifts she gets from us, she didn't want it. I have to like pry it out of her, like, but what would you want if you could get something, you know? So, and then she just goes out and kills and crushes life, which is like, I always want to get her more stuff because I'm like, you deserve it because I know you don't want it. But if I gave it to you, you would appreciate it. You would, you know the value of it, but you don't ask me for nothing. The other day I was talking to her and she was telling me about how she's, you know, I don't know how she sparses out like stuff, you know, to get by. And I'm like, a little bit is good. I like you struggling a little bit because you're learning how to make things work. But I told her, but when it comes to you, if it ever comes to you not eating, like I need you to hit me up because I can't have you like sparsing out food. Like I won't eat tonight. I'll eat tomorrow night. Like hit me up so that we can help you. But she's a good example. Those are my mattitudes.
Danielle, do you have any Christmas-themed mattitudes?
I do. I'm mad that not everybody gets snow on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah.
I think no matter look where you live, depending on the weather, mm-hmm. I think God in the universe.
And Santa.
Whatever. Santa. It should snow on Christmas Day. I think everyone deserves a white Christmas. And then even if you hate the snow or whatever, or it's going to ruin driving on the driveway, it's only there for Christmas Day. It's just Christmas Day, you get your snow. Christmas Eve. Actually, Christmas Eve, you get your snow. And then, actually, you know what? And the day after. Actually, the whole week of Christmas, we should get snow. Because you already have the week off.
How about just enough snow to where it lingers on the grass, but you don't have to shovel your driveway?
Yeah, and there's no icy, like, I don't want anybody spinning out.
That's right, that's right.
But I find snow so magical, and I don't know if it's because I grew up without it, and I live where it doesn't happen, because I know, like, it's
meanwhile,
already...
there's people in Minnesota listening right now going like, oh, so I rebuke you.
Yeah. But I'm like, I feel like that's what makes it, I mean, there's so many elements of Christmas. There's so many things that make it feel like Christmas.
Yeah.
But that, to me, is a big factor, and it just feels more Christmassy, and it should be cold on Christmas.
It should be cold way before Christmas.
Well, yeah.
October should be cold. I hate that it's not cold, but that's a beautiful mattitude.
Yeah. That's any other Christmas mattitudes?
I was really focusing on that one.
Okay, that's a good. It was a good. That was a powerful one. I think that one wins.
Yeah. I had a mattitude, but it's not Christmas theme.
All right.
Wait, mattitude is things that you're mad at, right?
Yeah, things that put you in a bad mood, things that piss you that annoy you.
I got put in a mattitude today.
Was it me?
Yes, kind of. It was kind of you, but not how you think it is. So I help with the transfer of this podcast video-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm always whatever.
Like uploading it.
Yeah.
Helping me. Oh, they know. They've heard me talk about before you helping me with technology and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I heard myself on one of the videos and I was like, oh, I sound so frustrated. I sound so annoyed and like.
Oh, you actually got to hear yourself.
Yeah. And so I was just like so mad at myself because even though I feel like I'm very warranted, I don't like how I sound. I don't like it. Even though I teach you every time how to do stuff and you don't add that when you're talking to your friends. Oh, he's always just sounding like, you know, I should know. And I'm like, but you don't tell him that I've told you 5 times already how to do this. So I'm so frustrated, but nobody knows that. So I'm watching Molly be like, oh, my God, this is how he talks to you. Like, oh, I look so bad. So I do feel mad at myself for letting, you know, your lack of desire to learn bring me to such a frustrated point that I sound like an a-hole.
So, I'm sorry I made you sound like an a-hole.
No, I sounded like an a-hole because I was frustrated. That's on me. I shouldn't get that way. I should just breathe. I should just woosah. And and even if I'm frustrated, I should still speak to you in a non-frustrated way. So I got real mad at myself for that.
What's funny is I woke up either this morning or the other morning, and I was thinking about, we still hadn't uploaded that episode yet, the Dr. Molly episode. And I was like, oh, Manny needs to upload it. And then I remembered that we recorded that whole interaction. And I didn't think you were going to walk away with this. I thought you were going to walk away after hearing me talk about how, like, oh, he always talks to me like this and he gets annoyed when whatever. And I was like, oh, no, he's going to hear me. He's going to hear me talk about it.
But that's like the plight of all, like, that's always our thing with our marriage. I'm like, babe, you do not provide people context. You leave context out. I need you to provide context.
Context is not funny.
Yeah, but it does.
I am in the funny business.
It does help me not look like an a-hole.
In funny business, context is called fat, and we cut the fat.
Yes, the fat happens to be the part that makes me look somewhat normal. It's like you trim the convenient fat.
Like, boo, boring. Get that context out of here.
but that is a mad attitude. I was very mad at myself.
Well, I accept your apology. Just kidding.
It was me admitting that I'm mad at myself.
Yeah.
I
agree with that mattitude. Thank you. Thank you for that mattitude. I agree with it.
No.
Let's see.
What's your Christmas mattitude?
Okay. So, my Christmas mattitude, this is kind of tricky because, okay, first of all, I know some people listen with their kids, and you tell me, like, hey, my kids are listening with us, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to say a mattitude right now that maybe if your kids are of a certain age, you don't want them privy to this information I'm about to give. So
I see where you're going.
Okay, see where I'm going? It's a Christmas-themed mattitude.
That kids can't hear?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so.
Think about it, sir.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The idea of Santa Claus, right? And we've talked about, like, how we want to do Santa with Rosie. And, like, it's not going to be all these gifts under the tree are from Santa, but maybe, like, the stocking stuffers, like, that's from Santa. Mm-hmm. Like, this little bit, this is from Santa, right? But teaching her about Santa so she could be involved in the magic of Christmas and the imaginary, and like, look at Santa's footprints in the snow or whatever. I've seen those videos on TikTok where it's like they get powdered sugar or like flour put on the ground and put like boot prints, and like, Santa was here. Oh my gosh. And like, I want to see her get excited about that. My mattitude is when it comes to the moment of revealing the truth, and it's usually either they figured it out or you do a thing like, okay, it's time to tell them or something. They start asking questions. It's the moment of distrust of, you lied to me? Wait, it's not real? Like, that is what I think about, because Rosie's still at a young age to where she doesn't understand any of this kind of stuff, so we still get to decide how we want to do it. But I'm like, I want her to know about all the Santa traditions and stuff like that, but at the same time, I'm like, ugh. It's like, I remember when I found out that Santa wasn't real. I remember.
Really?
This is how I found out. Every Christmas Eve, we would go to my aunt's house, my dad's sister, and we would do Christmas Eve over there. And then we would drive back late at night. We'd fall asleep in the car and we'd drive back late at night. And then we'd either wake up in our own beds or we'd wake up over there and just drive back in the morning, right? So what we would do is we would leave our milk and cookies by the fireplace for Santa. And then we would all get in the car, and it was a whole thing. We're like, okay, here we're leaving our milk and cookies. Now everybody get in the car. We're going to go to Auntie Jean's house. And we drive to Auntie Jean's house. Then when we get back, the milk is gone. The cookies, there's only a few crumbs left. And we're like, Santa was here while we were gone. So excited. And there was one year, I think I was maybe 7 or 8. I was young. And the only reason why I think 7 or 8 is because I think my parents were still married. They got divorced when I was 8. So maybe it was 7. Anyway, we're in the car. We did the whole leave cookies and milk for Santa. And then I forgot something in the house. So I ran back in the house to get whatever it was that I had forgotten. And I saw my dad drinking the milk and had eaten the cookies. And I put 2 and 2 together. Like
you didn't just get mad. I would have just got mad at that. Like, Dad, that was for Santa, you stupid.
No, I knew. I knew. And maybe they said something to me, like, go get in the car or like something. I don't remember exactly what was said to me, but I remember seeing it and being crushed. Like, and then just questioning everything. Because I'm sure I probably had already questioned. Maybe a friend at school might have said something.
Yeah, but was that a lasting thing?
Like, I'm 42 it's not like, and I still remember it.
No,
but
I mean, no, I'm talking about did you leave that situation and be like, oh, I can't trust my parents anymore?
No, I'm just saying I was sad. Like, this my little attitude is like, I was just sad. Like, so the idea of the moment when she realizes, and this is a attitude like 10 years in advance, I know, but I'm just saying, I think about that moment of when Santa is no longer
I want to tell her that Santa is obviously Saint Nicholas. Remember I told you? And he's tight with Jesus. and they like blessing people. That's what he does. Okay. He rolls around. Jesus floats around and Santa rides a sleigh. And they're homies. I'd say some would say cousins. And they love nothing more than to just bless people with love.
Oh my God, Christmas. I just got a good imagery right now.
What?
Of that. You know the homie pictures of like the prison photos where the cholos are like, they're down like on the ground and they like got this clap going like that. One with like Santa and then one Jesus and they're like joining forces for Christmas. Oh my gosh,
we should do a t-shirt like that.
I know, we need one. Copyright.
Copyright. If you can't do it.
Well, that's like, didn't they used to do those shirts that were like literally like Jesus is my homie?
They did.
Yeah.
But this is Jesus and
Santa.
This
is a collab.
This is Saint Nick.
Collab.
This is a collab right here.
This is Saint Nick
LaRocque. Collab Christmas. Yeah, but we said it's going to be Saint Nick, Jesus, Three Kings, and Holiday Armadillo.
Yeah.
Holiday Armadillo.
These are all the people that help during the Christmas time to, you know, because the Holiday Armadillo is part Jewish. So yes,
he teaches us about Hanukkah.
He helps the Jewish kids,
Maccabees.
Yeah, who may not be fully, you know, with the Santa, but he helps them out. But they're all in cahoots. This is a movie.
You should copyright.
Because it makes me think of that scene in I think it's the Santa Claus 2 where he has the meeting of the he meets with like the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and Father Time.
Yep.
And all of those characters.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
All right. Well, those are our attitudes. So, parents, you can let your kids listen again. Oh,
yeah.
Welcome back, kids.
Holiday.
Let's do a couple gratitudes, and then I know Danielle has some fun quizzes.
Gratitudes.
Some games. Some trivia. Some Christmas trivia for us. But let's do gratitude first. What's a Christmas-themed
gratitude for me?
Yeah.
I am of our current life.
Whatever.
Or just about
childhood,
Christmas.
From childhood, from anything. Anything.
I have one of my gratitudes for Christmas is I don't remember ever not getting what I wanted.
So opposite earlier when you were talking about kids getting what they want?
No, it's because I didn't really ask for the world because I kind of knew our situation. So my parents always was able to like get me what I quote unquote wanted, but it was never something. It wasn't like ever anything big. Like I don't remember ever wanting something outrageous.
Like what was it?
Like just small stuff. Like I just remember our Christmases never going. I was never disappointed at Christmas, but I don't remember ever getting like an outlandish gift. You know.
So like, can you remember
like some of the gifts
you when you were young that you wanted, and you're like,
I think one year the only thing we got was like a Nintendo.
That's a pretty big gift.
But it was for me and my brother.
Yeah. And I'm sure you guys really wanted that Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the only thing that we got. I remember getting that year. Because I think my parents would always only do like $500 for important things. So like for a birthday, $500. Or for Christmas, $500. That's it. For the whole year.
That's a lot of money though.
For $1,000 for the whole year? I mean
for like.
Yeah. If you didn't have no money like we did. Like, yeah. It was a lot. I mean, it was more than, again, I think that's just the gratitude is like, I don't remember, when I say I remember getting everything I ever wanted, everything that I've ever wanted was, it was just so like basic. And maybe that's my second gratitude that I never overshot so that I didn't have to be disappointed.
Or, you didn't dream big? I'm grateful I didn't dream big. I didn't shoot for the stars. You know what I mean? Don't shoot for the stars,
not
you guys.
In making my parents get me something that seemed unaffordable. I feel like I've always had a good sense of like where we were at economically. The one time I didn't, I was older. And when I told my mom to get me Tommy Hilfiger shirt, and she was like, that's $47. No way. And to think about it now, you know, I'm like 47, you know, I don't see it as a lot now. But back then she was like, you're crazy for asking for this. Mm-hmm. And I was like probably 14. And I realized, oh, we're poor. We don't have no money. Like, that's hard.
$47 is a lot for a shirt.
Yeah.
Even, yeah. I get it now. We know Manny dresses a lot nicer than I do. He likes the really good fabric and, like, this is so well made and woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, I got this on Amazon. Woo, woo, hey. So, to me, $47 is still a lot for a shirt. Like, for instance, when we did our the photo shoot I did recently, and the stylist brought a bunch of stuff, and in my brain I was like, well, I'm gonna keep some of these things so they don't have to return them and I don't have to go shopping. Like, I'm gonna keep a couple of these things. And one of them was this cute little like crop top. It was like a V-neck, but it was like a fun little like blousey t-shirt. Like, it wasn't like too form-fitting, it wasn't too big, it was like perfect little t-shirt. And oddly enough, the tag said perfect t-shirt or something like that. But it was like so thin. So like, it took them 3 seconds to make this shirt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I bet you this shirt's probably like $50 or something. And that's what I was thinking in my head. And I was like, I want to keep this shirt. How much is it? And she's like, oh, I think it was like $125. Out of your mind. I was angry. I was like, get this shirt off of me. No, I don't want this shirt. $125. I was already pissed that it was gonna be $50.
Yeah, no,
and that's 47. That's 50 bucks.
47 is a lot. I'm not trying to. When I said I realized that we were poor, it wasn't because we couldn't afford a $47 shirt. It's that my mom started to tell me we ain't got no money. That's when I realized that. Oh man, you know, she's like, you know, if you want things, you're gonna have to go work because we don't have the money. All the money we had saved for your college, we bought a house.
And you were 14.
Yeah, well, no, this was middle school. This was middle school.
About 14, maybe. Yeah,
yeah, 13, 14, yep.
Then you got a job after that.
No, then I started stealing.
Oh, then that's when your crime days
began. That's when I became a hoodlum.
Little thug.
Yeah, and we started stealing the shirts.
Oh, you said, all right, we can't afford it. Got
you,
Mom.
I got to start robbing. Not good. What? Not a good thing. But that's my gratitude.
That's a good one. I was a little concerned in the beginning. I thought you were contradicting yourself from your very first attitude, but I understand where you went with it. Thank you for the context. Context
is
key, as I always say. What else, lover? Give me another gratitude.
I'm grateful that we get to dress up our house. I'm so grateful for that.
You did a very good job.
Thank you.
You did it all by yourself. I didn't.
If I can figure out where to put the hat rack, that's going to be the place for the next tree.
Not just a hat rack, my friend.
It's primed. Somebody on Instagram said, and if you could just put the hat in a box, you could put another Christmas tree there. I was like, oh my God, I can. Another Christmas tree right there.
Who are these enablers that follow you on social media?
How many trees do you have in the house?
How many trees do we have?
Three.
Three right now. One, two, three. Yeah. I'm gonna figure out a place, you know, once I move the studio to my parents' house, I think I'm for sure putting one in the movie theater where I watch all the movies. And that one's gonna be real big. The one in the living room is 12 feet. I think I'm gonna do a 14 footer in there.
Wow.
Bro, I'm gonna go ham on that.
Where are you
gonna
put all this stuff?
In the attic. What are you talking about?
This is every time he comes home with more trinkets to put somewhere, all I think about is like, you know, you have to put it away too at some point. Like, that's a lot of stuff that you gotta.
And I gladly do it. I do it with glee.
You do?
Yeah, it's fun. I love it. That's my second gratitude, that we get to dress up the house.
Gratitude.
And then the third one would be that Rosie gets to experience this. She's already loving it. Every time she wakes up and she sees her, she goes, oh, wow.
Wow.
So that's
so cute.
So awesome. Fourth would be, as much as I want to stay here or go, you know, be in a snowy environment for Christmas, this last one over there at Santana Row would be, I'm grateful for that because Santana Row is beautiful and we've always had a good time, just me and you, you know, over there. So this will be a good last time over there doing that. And then fifth would be that my parents are right next door. So I'm sure we'll get them some gifts before we leave and drop it off. And, you know, my mom's going to put up her big old snowman.
Aww.
So that's...
Your mom used to go all out for Christmas decor. You get it from.
But she has, it's most of them are packed away. So
yeah,
she
they're still
it.
In boxes for this Christmas. So she went to it this Christmas.
But she has her big snowman that she's going to put out.
Oh, that's nice.
All her stuff is old. Like, it's super old. She doesn't, like, get new stuff.
Here's the thing is.
I love old stuff.
I used to love decorating the Christmas tree. It's like such a thing of like, put some Christmas music on. Let's make some hot chocolate. Let's decorate together. Like, it's such a fun vibe. But now I don't know if it's because like you do such a good job making it like it looks like the inside of a magazine. You're like, whoa, like it's very Pinterest. It's very like done. And it's almost like corporate where I'm like, well, this doesn't feel fun. But if it was like messy, who cares, let's just eat some cookies and whatever, like I think of like the 80s tinsel all over Christmas trees and like our artwork ornaments from, you know, macaroni from first grade and like stuff like that, like who cares. I think that's fun, but
mine is fun too for you. We get to stare at it for the rest of the time
when it's done. I like that, the actual like doing of it. It's like methodical. It's very like, no, Mon, you want to place it in concentric circles. Everything I say is a friend's quote in this episode.
No, but I'm not like that when we put it together.
You could do both. We do both. My mom has her themed tree, the one from the catalog that's in the nice living room. And then the tree that's in our window in our front room is all of those ornaments. Like, my mom still has an ornament that's my tiny little hand from like 1993.
Cootie.
And like all these, like she has all of those ornaments that we all made in church or school, and some of them are falling apart and she'll re-hot glue it back together. And
yeah, well, that's interesting because the tree in the front room is the traditional tree theme.
It's the red green.
Because we don't have anything to put on it. We don't have little Rosie's things, which we will put on it.
They will come.
Yeah, they will come. But I feel like eventually, when she's old enough, we'll have a little like Christmas tree for like her room or like this like upstairs area where she can decorate it however she wants.
Yeah. I mean, I started her off with the black and white theme. It's very Vogue. Yeah. So I feel like, you know,
whatever
kid wants, no color whatsoever.
But my mom did 2 years ago. She put a tree in the kitchen that's on the table that none of us ever sit at because we sit at the bar.
Oh, the fancy table?
it's no, we have the fancy dining table, then we have the bar seating, and then there's the kitchen table.
Oh, I see. Everybody, yeah, we have that too.
Nobody sits at the kitchen table.
Everybody sits at the bar.
She sits, and so she has the, she bought a tree, and they're all food ornaments, and only food ornaments go on the kitchen tree.
I like that.
Yeah, I think as Rosie gets older, she'll do her thing. I'll let her. Anything to make her happy for Christmas. And it's just, I think it's just, there's nothing like it.
And that's all for your Christmas theme gratitudes?
That was five.
Yeah. Okay, because I have a few that I really thought you were going to say.
What?
Christmas in New York. Taking a trip in the month of December to New York and seeing all of that. Mm-hmm. You talk about that all the time.
Yeah, but I thought it was stuff that we get to do or that we're doing currently that is happening.
You thought that by me saying anything from your whole life, from childhood, whatever.
That's just my favorite to do in Christmas. Yeah. I mean, New York is, I've been going to New York for the past 20 years, every Christmas, to go visit my sister and to see the city. It's
amazing. The Christmas decor in New York is
it's
so fun.
Literally the last 20 years.
Did you see the story about the tree this year?
Mm-mm. No. What?
It was, I briefly looked at it, so I don't remember their names, but it's this tree from this couple who had planted it like 60 years ago something when they got married, and they loved New York. They loved Rockefeller. They loved the Christmas trees, and they grew it specifically because they wanted that tree to be used for Rockefeller Center. And the wife has passed away, but the husband was like, she would love this. This is so meaningful. They're using their tree.
Oh, that's dope.
That is special.
That must be a big tree though.
Huge. I mean, yeah, it's ginormous.
Man,
but they grew it like in their backyard.
Well, we're gonna start back. I honestly thought you just meant this year. What's going on? Because I want to start back going to New York next year, so that Rosie can do the tradition
it's
with us.
It's so magical.
There's nothing
my
like
favorite.
It.
Your New York Christmas is equivalent to Danielle's Disney Christmas, I think.
But I love both. I love both. I mean, I was in New York for Thanksgiving last year for the parade, and my family has done Christmas in New York. But I was telling you, I like to go because I live in LA, and it never feels like Christmas here ever, even in December. I've been here on Christmas Day, and it didn't feel like Christmas. The only place that feels Christmassy to me is Disneyland because of the decorations.
Yeah, and they do the fake snow, right?
Snow.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, now we're in the spirit of things.
But it's still not cold enough, you know? That's
still
You're still wearing shorts and a tank top.
Like exactly. But it's like as close as I can get without driving into the mountains or. Mm-hmm.
I literally got depressed. I remember when I was in Orlando for Christmases, I would get so depressed. I didn't know I was depressed, but I would just be sad because I'm like, this, I need changing of seasons. Mm-hmm. I think it's so romantic. When the leaves start falling and turning orange and
beautiful. Yeah. I think fall's my favorite.
It's so romantic. And then we go into Christmas and then, you know, and then there's nothing like spring coming back around, drop the top, drive. Like it's, seasons are it for me. But yes, I would say New York is a massive
gratitude.
Yeah. We just haven't been in a minute. So,
yeah, we will next year. Danielle, do you got a, Christmas theme gratitude?
I do. I am really grateful for the way that my family does Christmas Eve. It's we always go to our Christmas Eve service, the candlelight service, which I love. It's always so beautiful. But the biggest thing that we do, and like we do stuff with our extended family, but my immediate family is we come home and we will stay up late playing board games or card games, Trivial Pursuit, whatever. And we'll drink eggnog or cider. And we often will stay up until midnight because we're all adults now. And we will play Christmas movies and we just all hang out together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it gets heated if we're in an intense game and I feel that my sister is cheating in Trivial Pursuit once again, because she just likes to sneakily put pieces of the pie, if you know how that game works.
I don't.
You're looking up, you're like, it's like you have this little, the game piece is, it holds six pieces of a pie and each color represents a category, like purple is arts and pink is movie and yellow is science or something. And my sister, every year we catch her doing it, she will sneakily put pieces of the pie in her thing as if she has won that category. And the next thing you know, she's like, oh, I'm one away. And I'm like, wait a minute. You've gotten every question wrong. How do you have those? And it's just super, it's, you know, there's no little kids yet. So we're not like, oh, got to get to bed for Santa. We're like, wow, it's already midnight. Oh, okay, I guess we'll go to bed. Like, mm-hmm. whatever. And that's it's just, cool. I really love that we do that. And we just, it's so, even my mom was texting me the other day and was like, she found this new game on Amazon. And she was like, should we get this for Christmas Eve? Should Fun. We try this one?
I love that. And
we don't have like, yeah, that. That sounds so cool.
It's so fun. I love it. So, and we also eat Mexican food and have tamales on Christmas Eve.
I love that. I love that for you. When you say we don't have that, what do you mean?
Like my parents, we never...
Like growing up, you didn't have traditions.
Yeah, like, or just, yeah, like the play games together, you know, do that kind of stuff. We don't have that.
You just would like wake up on Christmas?
Yeah. Well, we were in Germany. We would have the only tradition was that our presents came in our shoes outside. Like we would put our shoes outside of the door and there'd be presents in there. But not like, no, we don't like, we never got around and did family stuff like that. Just never did.
That's
it.
Sad.
I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't feel sad about it. I just feel like this sounds like a lot more fun, but I don't,
yeah.
I never felt sad because I didn't know.
But now you can create.
Yeah.
Oh, we have it now. That's why I wanted him to specify that was from childhood and not right now, because we fully have. That's one of my gratitudes is our Christmas traditions, which are very similar. We do our own things. But Christmas Eve is usually with my dad, and we have dinner with my dad, and then we play money games. And the money games are things that he makes up. That it's like, who wants to be a $100 millionaire? It's throw the quarter in the bucket. It's who can get their quarter closest to the wall. It's a card game. It's guessing how much money is on the table, and he'll pour out a bunch of coins and like $1 bills, and then you got to move them around, and there's a $100 bill that you almost missed, and it's like you got to guess how much money's on the table. And then he'll do where he'll make it rain dollar bills and you have to just like catch the dollars.
Yeah. That was my first time ever experiencing something like that.
Yeah. So Christmas Eve is with my dad and he plays all these fun games. We do dinner. And there was even a time we flew out Manny's parents and they were a part of it. And it was so funny watching Manny's mom be a part of trying to catch the dollars.
She didn't catch anything because she kept laughing.
She was just laughing so hard she didn't catch $1. And then Christmas Day is with my mom's side of the family, and we do breakfast at my mom's house. And then that afternoon, we go to my aunt's house, and I have a huge family. And so there's so many people, like 50 people at my aunt's house. And it's always been one of those things where it's our family, and then sometimes friends will come who, you know, they're like family, and we do white elephant game, which is always fun. And like how you said, your sister always cheats at the trivia game. Our cousin Shannon, she always cheats and she'll pick up the white elephant and like shake it and try to feel the weight of it. And we're like, no, you can't touch it. You have to just pick one. And like, so she's our go-to game cheater. But we do white elephant. It's usually funny and fun. We have tamales. We have... everybody brings something, and then we look forward to that one thing that everybody always brings. Like everybody always looks forward to Sonia's spinach dip and her bread that she brings. Everybody always looks forward to my Uncle Eddie's bread pudding that he brings for dessert. Everybody looks forward to Aunt Susie's rice. And like you think about those things. My Nino's beans were a favorite, and he passed away a couple years ago, but his beans were like, everybody couldn't wait. Like, Nino's not here yet. Where's his beans? His beans are not here. So it's like something that we would look forward to seeing the whole family. Everybody's together, especially before COVID, because after COVID it changed, and it's just, you know, if anybody's feeling even a little under the weather, like, and it's just, it's different. And my aunt didn't host it for a while. So we're just now getting back into bringing those traditions back up. All while we're saying this is probably going to be our last time going home for Christmas to do these traditions.
Because then what do we replace them with?
Because we want to establish our own traditions with Rosie. And I don't want Rosie to be waking up in a hotel on Christmas morning. Like, Manny and I have been waking up at a hotel for the past 13 years on Christmas. And we're fine. We're adults. Who cares? But I want Rosie to wake up in her own house with her own Christmas decorations and her stocking from Santa. And then, you know, if there's snow here, which I think it doesn't snow here until like February, but I feel like I just want her to like have her own home and traditions that we can start building here. We're still going to go home for my family just like earlier in the month, and we'll do like our pre-Christmas with my mom and, you know, with my dad and like, you know, some family members and do like a pre-Christmas, but we just won't be a part of like the big thing, which makes me sad because I want Rosie to be a part of that. But at the same time, I want her to, you know, we establish our own traditions, and that's the hard thing.
Yeah, that is the hard thing. Because it is a hard thing because we don't have that here.
I know.
There's no.
We have your parents, and then who knows if my mom moves out here, but we'll see. Well, and maybe it becomes something like when she gets older, we do like 1 year here, 1 year there, or something. Like, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I spent all my Christmases waking up at my grandma's house. So
that's awesome.
Waking up at my childhood home where my parents are now, that wasn't until like college.
Yeah, but grandma's house is different than the Hyatt.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
No, that sounds awesome. Waking up at grandma's.
And I'm like so grateful for my parents, because especially my dad, he was really big on like, we're going to have traditions and we're going to do these things. But I also think sometimes traditions just happen on their own, where all of a sudden you just do something one time and then you're like, oh, well, we should do this again. And like, and it may not be something that you thought through.
I mean, to be honest,
we always go see a movie on Christmas Day.
Yeah, he does that too.
Something where like that just happened 1 year, and then the next year we're like, should we do it again? And then the next year we're like, okay, what are we seeing on Christmas Day? What's our Christmas movie?
I always go with her brother, because me and her brother would always want to bounce out of the family event because we were just like chilling there doing nothing. So we're like, let's leave. Yeah. But I wanted to, or I want to, and maybe this will be when she's older, but then we'll be really old. But there's so many places that I want to go visit that do Christmas right. Like, they do it up. Like, there's places in Sweden and Norway. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's bucket list stuff that I would love to do. And we have the ability to do it. So I hope we do. Especially if Rosie loves Christmas like I love Christmas, like, you know. There's a place in Canada called Whistle something. Haley told me about it. I don't know if it's called Whistler. There's a place in Canada that's super dope. There's a place in Sweden. There's a place in Norway. Germany. There's a place in Germany. Like, just really, the whole town does it up. And I'm like, bruh, gotta go.
Like, Whistler Village.
Yeah, like, these are things to do early December, you know, like, just head out to these places for a week and let Rosie see the world. And I would just want to do that. That's like the things that I'm like, if I don't do it, I'll feel like sad that I never went and did it, when you have the ability to, you know.
Danielle, what trivia do you have for us?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I worked really hard on this.
Let's go. I'm excited.
I'm so excited. I probably have more questions. I don't know. I have a lot of questions. I also divided them into categories
for you.
So we have toys.
This is your lane.
We have, I just love it. I love it. So we have toys. We have movies and TV. We have music. And then we just have like general Christmas trivia.
Okay.
Ooh,
so, I do have more on the movies and TV. That's kind of the heavier one.
All right, let's do it.
But, and then we'll also keep score. A lot of them are multiple choice, and I did purposely pick ones that I think will either trick you or you guys will disagree on the
love
answer.
It. Love it.
So I'm so excited.
It doesn't take much for us to disagree.
Let's Babe, why are you making it sound?
Some were surprising. Like some of these I was like, wait, I didn't know that, really? So
well, I'm saying based on you like cheesy Christmas movies and I like
that
murder
sounded
stuff.
Like we argue a lot. I'm like, we don't argue.
No,
a lot.
I'm no. Well, I mean we're about like to find out. Yeah, let's watch this.
I'm gonna keep score. Okay. So do we wanna bounce around categories? Do we wanna do Jeopardy style and you do all one category? What are
bounce
we,
around,
are
bounce you? Around. Your discretion.
Okay. Let's start.
Darn, I was trying to think of a quote from the other Friends episode where they're doing the trivia game and I couldn't remember it. And
you mean the actual game where they lose the apartment?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Transponster.
Yeah, that's what was coming to my head, but
that's not even a word.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Towels. Okay, let's start with, I'm going to start with music. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'll give you multiple choice answer options.
What? Is it whoever says it first?
Yeah, okay. I guess so. Yeah, whoever says it first, or you can be like final answer.
Okay,
if you want to tie.
Okay,
like, or you want to have tie scores, or
Yeah, we could do ties. We could do ties.
Okay. First question: what popular Christmas song became the first song
Mariah Carey. Ever? Just kidding.
You don't even know what I'm about to say.
Okay, go.
That answer is wrong, by the way.
Okay.
What popular Christmas song became the first song ever broadcast in space in 1965?
Oh,
was it Silent Night, Joy to the World, or Jingle Bells?
Silent Night.
Joy to the World.
You're both wrong. It's Jingle Bells.
What?
I thought Joy to the World because you could see the world from space.
Exactly. I thought Silent Night because you're literally looking up in the stars when you sing Silent Night.
Well, good for you. I have fun facts for every answer. So Jingle Bells was played in space, and it comes from the Apollo 8 mission in 1968. Oh, I guess at the 19, I have the date wrong, 68, not 65, which was the first manned mission to orbit the moon on Christmas Eve. The astronauts aboard the Apollo 8, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders, decided to send a holiday greeting to Earth. They read from the Book of Genesis, and then as a lighthearted gesture, they played the recording of Jingle Bells on a harmonica that was brought along for the mission.
Wow.
There you go. Okay, so your scores are 0 and 0. Let's move on to, let's do movies. Okay. What is the highest grossing Christmas movie of all time? Is it The Grinch from 2018, The Polar Express from 2004, or Elf from 2003?
Elf.
I think The Grinch.
It's The Grinch. And it's not it's not the Jim Carrey one. It's the one, it's the animated one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Dang it.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Because I think, only the reason I said that is because I think The Elf was a slow burn.
Yeah, I thought about that after I said
initially
it.
Initially people
like,
didn't think it was a classic.
Elf was number 8.
Yeah.
For highest grossing.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, that's one me.
One for me. Okay, let's do toys. And I don't have very many for this category, but they're fun. What was the best-selling toy the year Manny was born in 1980? Was it the Rubik's Cube, Star Wars action figures, or a skateboard?
Ooh. I'm going to go with the cube.
Angela?
Skateboard.
It was the Rubik's Cube.
F! I almost said Rubik's Cube.
You
want
to know why I went with the cube?
Why?
Because it's the cheapest.
Oh.
It's sold for $1.99.
Dang it.
Anyone can afford it.
Ah.
Okay.
Hate this game.
What was the best-selling toy the year Angela was born in 1982?
2 years later.
2 years later. Was it the Cabbage Patch Kids, My Little Pony, or Nintendo?
Cabbage Patch.
I'm going to go with the pony.
It was My Little Pony.
F.
And it sold for $3.
No way. Oh, man.
I know, babe.
Okay. I have another toy one. What was the best-selling toy from the year I was born in 1990? So you guys are kids at this point.
I'm 10.
Yeah. All right.
Game Boy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures, or Beanie Babies?
Ooh.
Beanie Baby. Nope. I think Beanie Babies later in the 90s. Same again?
No, I think you're action, Teenage Mutant
Game
Turtles.
Boy?
Game Boy.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures or Beanie Babies.
I'm going to go Beanie Babies since it's the cheapest one.
I agree.
Wrong.
Dang
it's
it.
It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yes. I should have said that because I got them.
The live action movie was released that same year.
I should have said that because I had them all.
No points.
I had them all. I had all the Teenage Turtles.
Manny's up 3-0. Okay, let's see if Ange knows more about movies, music, general Christmas. Let's do a general Christmas.
Yeah, let's do general.
Which one of Santa's reindeer has the same name as another holiday mascot? First one to say it.
I can only think of Rudolph right now. There's Dancer and Prancer. Cupid. And...
Cupid.
My brain was moving so slow.
Dancer. I was like, hello?
Dang it. Okay. Next.
What was the first company that used Santa Claus in advertising in 1931? Was it Hershey's, Coca-Cola,
Coke.
Or Ford?
Coke.
Coca-Cola.
Wait. Correct. It's Coke.
Look, you got copycatter.
One. But it's multiple choice. You can both answer.
Copycatter.
Yes, and did you know that the...
I remember the ad.
Before their ad started, everybody had their own variations of Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. But since... their artist and the artist depiction that Coca-Cola did, that has now become the main classic.
So we're all copying.
I remember
before
that.
Before he used skinny, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they really changed
the game.
Okay,
Santa?
Let's go back to movies. Okay. In the original 1947 film, Miracle on 34th Street, the film centers around Macy's department store. In the remake in 1994... they changed the name of the department store to what? Was it Gimbel's, Kohl's, or Covington's?
Gimbel's.
Gimbel's.
Wrong. It's Kohl's.
What? Who's Gimbel's then?
Gimbel's is the competitor.
Oh.
In the movies, yes.
And I, you know what? This is one that I was meaning to watch again this year because I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah. I'll watch that one with you.
I was like.
I'll do that one with you, babe.
Will you?
Yeah.
They have different versions of it, though. They have like newer one and old one.
Right, so there's the 1947 one that Macy's is in, and then there's the 1994 remake.
Yeah, I remember seeing the 94 one.
Yeah,
like 3 years ago. Dang it!
Let's do. We'll go to bounce back to music. Okay, this one might be tricky. What is the best-selling Christmas song ever? Is it Last Christmas, Wham, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey, or White Christmas, Bing Crosby?
It's Mariah Carey.
I can't imagine it not being
100%
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Wrong. It's White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
That's not true. That's
wow.
Where'd you Google this?
Multiple internets. A multiple Googled. Everyone thinks it's Mariah. Wrong. It's
I was going to say Bing just to be a disagreeer because I'm like, this is too obvious.
And then if you won, again, I'd be pissed.
But I can't imagine. It's just wild.
What's the score?
It is.
I'm still winning.
Manny has 5 and you have 1.
Dang it.
Okay, here, I'll do another Christmas. What unlikely duo recorded the song Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy in 1977? Was it Elton John and Frank Sinatra, Mick Jagger and Nat King Cole, or Bing Crosby and David Bowie?
Wow. Give me the options.
I'm
going
to go with the first one, with Sinatra.
Elton John and Frank Sinatra.
What year?
Mick Jagger in 1977.
Okay.
Mick Jagger and Nat King Cole, or Bing Crosby and David Bowie? Peace on Earth, Little
Drummer. I think it's the first one, too.
Damn, wait. 77? Shoot. That makes me think. I'm going to stick with Sinatra, but it makes me think Jagger was big in the 70s.
Jagger and who?
Nat King Cole.
I'm going to say Jagger. You say the first one.
Why are you taking my answer?
Okay, wait. Hold on. Because Elton is big.
I think he came later, though.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he got bigger later, which is the only reason why.
I mean, he's been doing it for a while.
He has, but.
But I just remember Jagger being big in the 70s. I'm going to go with Jagger.
I said I was going with Jagger.
You said after I was saying Jagger, and I gave my explanation, and then you switched over, which is why you have one
because
point.
Because I agree with your explanation.
Okay. Final answer.
Final answer.
Jagger.
Wrong. It's Bing Crosby and David Bowie.
I almost said that.
Neither one of you even said them. You compared
Bing
the
Crosby
two
and Bowie? Damn. Yes. I thought Bing was dead already.
No. So initially, the two artists were supposed to sing The Little Drummer Boy together, but Bing Crosby disliked the song and refused to record it. All but out of drama. Instead, David Bowie suggested creating a new song that could blend both Little Drummer Boy and an original composition, Peace on Earth. This new hybrid song was written in a hurry, and Bowie's unique vocal style paired with Crosby's classic crooning turned it into one of the most memorable Christmas songs of all time.
And which one is it again?
Apparently, that you guys don't remember. Which Peace one? On Earth, Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, never heard of it.
Damn.
Just kidding.
Okay, let's go to general Christmas. Okay, this one was fun because I have never heard of this. What other name is eggnog known as? Milk punch, holiday cream, or winter's brew?
First of all, holiday cream needs to stop. but I'm going to say holiday cream because I don't think you would have wrote that on your own.
What's the first one?
Milk punch, holiday cream, or winter's brew?
Holiday cream, final answer.
I'm just going to say winter's brew because I like it more. I like the name.
It's milk punch.
Oh, dang it. You came up with holiday cream on your own?
Chat GPT did.
Okay. Milk punch. That was
apparently it is said in the southern United States, which I said, not my south. And particularly though in Louisiana.
You know what?
Yeah. Where they do boudin? Boudin?
Boudin.
That does sound about right because it does have alcohol
in
it,
so
right?
Good.
Yeah. Milk punch. That does sound more fun to say.
You know, there's like fruit punch. This one's just milk punch.
Dang it. I am not winning at this game.
Okay, let's go to movies. I have a movie question, and if you get it wrong, and shame on you. In the movie Elf.
Elf. Okay.
What was the first rule of the Code of Elves? Treat every day like Christmas, spread holiday cheer,
and sing loud for everyone to hear.
No. Oh. Of those three lines,
oh, okay.
What is the first rule of the Code of Elves? Treat every day like Christmas, or spread holiday cheer, or sing loud for all to hear.
Two. The number two. Whatever the second one is.
You think it's spread holiday cheer?
Yeah.
And?
Oh, it's him again? I just got confused.
Treat every day like Christmas. Spread holiday cheer. Sing loud for all to hear.
I think it's treat every day like Christmas. Dang it, yes. I'm wrong.
No, that's right.
Oh, it is.
Right.
Dang, so they were like Christmas. They were already in order.
Yes.
Spread holiday cheer, sing loud to hear. It's kind of a
finally.
Part. Because he technically later they say the best way to spread cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Yeah.
That's why I thought spread cheer was the first one.
It was an improvised line.
Darn.
Trick ya. I love to trick. Okay. In Home Alone, where are the McAllisters going on vacation?
Paris.
When they leave Evan behind. London, Paris, or Rome?
Paris, final answer.
Yeah, Paris. It was Paris.
It's Paris. What's the score?
In the second Home Alone 2, where were they going?
New York.
Yeah.
No, that's where he got lost.
That's where he got lost.
They were trying to go somewhere else.
Oh. Oh.
You remember? I'll give you a bonus point.
In the second
You don't
one.
Need any bonus points.
I know. Andrew's mostly talking to you.
In the second one, they were going.
Evan gets on a flight to New York by mistake. The rest of his family flew to.
To somewhere tropical.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In the United States.
Miami.
Yes, Miami.
Yes.
Oh, I'll man. I did not know that one.
Yes. I just remember the little hotel room that they were staying in. Okay.
Dang.
Okay. What's the score now?
Manny has 6 and you have 4.
All right, I'm catching up.
How'd you
up.
Get to 4?
I was like, I've got more.
That
got
bonus.
More bonus. I got a bonus point. I got more
oh
questions.
My
okay.
Gosh.
The Grinch is described with 3 words. What are they? I'll give you multiple choice. Rotten, rancid, repulsive. Stink, stank, stunk. Mean, miserable, malicious. It's in the song. Do you remember the song?
No.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
The three words are in that song.
What were the
rotten, rancid, repulsive.
That A. one. Ink, A. Is that one?
Sunk. A.
Wrong.
F.
Damn
it. Think, stink, sunk.
Dang it.
That does make way more sense to be in a song. Because the other one, rancid, rancid, repulsive, that's a lot of syllables. Stink, stank, stunk, you can stick that anywhere.
Yeah. Because my other one was as mean, long as, miserable, and delicious.
As long as you didn't win that one.
Oh my goodness.
You cheater. Okay.
What is the real name of Tim Allen's character in The Santa Claus? Is it Stephen Carter, Scott Calvin, or Sam Clark?
Scott Calvin.
Sam Clark.
Scott Calvin.
Yes.
What? How'd you know that one?
Wild guess.
Oh, man.
It felt right. You didn't know that for real.
Yeah, it just felt right.
Damn.
I got five. How many he has?
Six.
He has six.
Oh, my gosh.
I've still got a few more questions. What science fiction franchise had its own holiday television special in 1978? Was it Star Wars, Star Trek, or Back to the Future?
Say the whole question again.
What science fiction franchise had its own holiday television special in 1978? Was it Star Wars, Star Trek, or Back to the Future?
Oh, wow.
Super famous.
It is?
Star Wars.
I'd have to go with Star Trek then.
Star Wars.
Yes, we're tied.
Okay. I believe my questions that I have left are general. Okay. I'm down to
how many questions are left?
I've got three. Technically, I have four.
Okay, do three so we have a clear winner.
Okay. Six and six. Okay. What environmentalist U.S. president banned Christmas trees at the White House?
What?
Was it President Jimmy Carter, President Theodore Roosevelt, President Franklin D. Roosevelt? It was only during his term.
Wait, we had two Roosevelts?
Yes.
I'm going to go Carter.
Who options are Jimmy Carter, Theodore Roosevelt, or Franklin D. Roosevelt?
I'm going with Carter.
Well, being that I feel like one of these Roosevelts is a fake and not even existing.
So not true. They're both real. Oh no! We're about to have a history lesson after this.
We should. Anytime everybody just says Roosevelt, who like I didn't know there's there was two. Theodore Teddy, Roosevelt, yes.
FDR. There's Teddy and FDR. Is how they're affectionately known.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which one was an environmentalist and banned Christmas trees during his term?
I don't know. I didn't know they were real to know where would they stood on certain issues. Like
you've been guessing in every question.
We have a guess of Jimmy Carter and Ange.
Jimmy Carter.
You're gonna go with the same answer as Manny.
Yeah, because I need to negate what's happening, whether he wins or lose.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's Theodore Roosevelt.
Damn.
Dang it.
And did you know that he is often
a real person?
He is a real person, and he is often credited with expanding and formalizing the U.S. National Park System. He cared that much about trees. And
that's very nice.
And deforestation, etc. So, but it was only during his presidency that Christmas trees were banned. As we all know, that's one of my favorite specials every year is watching them decorate the White House. So, okay. In what country? So you're still tied, 6-6. In what country do people celebrate Christmas by eating chicken from KFC? Singapore, India, or Japan?
What? What country celebrates Christmas by eating KFC?
Mm-hmm. Singapore.
Big deal. Singapore?
Japan.
It's Japan.
Ah, dang it!
Japan
apparently, in the 70s, KFC did a marketing campaign there called Kentucky for Christmas, and it stuck. And so now everybody...
All right, so you're going to have to do that fourth one, possibly.
Why?
Okay, possibly. If we tie.
If okay, here's the... Okay,
I'm winning right now.
If I win this round, then she has to do the next question. That's the tiebreaker.
Okay.
And we can't pick the same thing.
Yeah.
What? What was the first state to declare Christmas an official holiday? Was it Massachusetts, Virginia, or Alabama?
I'm going to go with Virginia.
Oh, man. Massachusetts. It's Virginia.
You're both wrong. It's Alabama.
Oh, thank God we're both wrong.
The hell did
oh, wait, no, that means I lose.
That means
oh,
that means
man.
I won, babe.
I was Alabama in 1836, and by 1870, Christmas was declared a federal holiday in the United States.
How did Alabama do it? They're in the South. That don't make no sense.
Why not?
Because the South doesn't get weather like the North does.
What does weather have to do with Christmas?
Weather, we literally had a long parade of words at the beginning.
Christmas still happens whether or not there is
snow. It
does
still happen, but you don't feel like it's Christmas in the South. You feel like it's Christmas.
But they still fought for it.
And
we appreciate you, Alabama.
Thank you, Alabama.
Thank you for your Christmas service.
That and the song. We appreciate your contribution.
Yes. Man, I lost. But at least I only lost by one.
Yeah. You also got a bonus point for guessing.
But did I guess right?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Thank you, mucho.
Do you want to know what my other question was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, how many gifts total are there?
I know this.
Total gifts?
Because it's in the movie that I was just in.
Oh.
Total gifts. Wouldn't it be?
What movie was I just in?
Candy Cane Lane.
Candy Cane Lane. I was in the movie Candy Cane Lane, and they talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
F. I'm not going to remember it. What do you think it is? And if you get it wrong, you lose a point, and then we're tied.
No.
Do you remember all of the gifts, too? Do you remember all of them?
No, 50. Wouldn't you just have to add it up?
How much is it?
Yeah.
Like 53 or something like that?
No. Wrong. Point removed. We're tied. No,
it's not 52, 53?
No, it's 364.
How?
Because you sing the song multiple times.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like I just thought. But that's not the question. The question is how many gifts there is.
Yeah.
So you just add up the gifts. Cool. Doesn't matter if you.
No.
You sing it over and over.
This was the whole thing when he's trying to break the curse.
And if anybody disagrees with any of my answers, too bad.
Blame ChatGPT.
Blame ChatGPT.
Danielle, thank you so much for putting this contest together for us.
I love trivia.
I'm so glad that Manny and I tied today.
You lost, babe. The only thing you won is better looking in that nice pajama set.
Thank you, lover. Bonzo has joined us for this last portion of the podcast.
Our cutie boy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas to you, whether you're listening to this on Christmas or in February, whenever.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
May Christmas not be far from your heart.
Treat every day like Christmas. Number one rule, right? Yes. Number one elf rule, treat every day like Christmas.
And to spread Christmas cheer, you sing loud.
For all to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, good night.
I love you, babe.
Love you, lover.